Yeah. Father, we thank you that you heard our prayer and that she's going to have a good report. And Father, that she's going to get her healing in her shoulder and her strength back and her throat. And that this is going to clear up and she's going to be able to come back with her strength and come back in here. And we thank you that Charlie's having good success with his surgery and that things are going well in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We've been talking about grace. We talked about this last Wednesday. And, you know, the fact that the devil does not like grace. And one thing about the Bible, it tells us to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And there's groups of people that just can't seem to receive the gift of righteousness. They seem to think that you have to earn it. And you can't earn righteousness. You get born into it. When you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're just as righteous the day you got born again as you'll ever be. And here's something else. There's a faction of people that think you can lose your righteousness. You couldn't earn your righteousness. How are you going to lose something you didn't earn? But see, you're going to have to understand the unconditional love of God. See, people have conditions on love. You know, and you know, you can wear somebody out and they're not going to love you no more. You know, Paul, he seemed to be on a whole nother level. They stoned him and he went back in there and preached the gospel. I have not reached Paul's level of forgiveness. He stoned me. We're going to have problems. But he had this revelation of the love of God that kept him going. And John had an even deeper revelation where they tried to persecute him. They couldn't do nothing to him. He's the only apostle that died of old age. All the others had a martyr's death, but not him. They tried to kill him. They couldn't get it done. So we understand the righteousness of God. We understand the love of God. We understand the grace of God. Receive the abundance of grace. See, everything, when you got born again, you're saved by grace. And I know that we had to use our faith, but it was the faith that God gave us. See, we didn't have any faith to get born again until he gave us that faith to believe. He gave us that faith. And then when you get born again, then he gives you the measure of faith. It's not a mustard seed of faith. He gives you the measure of faith. We just have to learn how to use it. When you see Jesus in his grace, he'll see you in your faith. When you start seeing Jesus in his grace and the things that he did for you by grace, faith is going to happen in your heart. Faith will come much easier. It won't be something that you have to muster up. See, let's look at John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. To have the abundance of grace is to have the abundance of Jesus. And in order for you to receive the abundance of grace, you're going to have to learn of Jesus. You're going to have to see what he did for you. Whenever you start seeing things that he did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection, that he did for you, you're going to see his grace. You're going to receive that. Faith is going to happen in your heart. You're going to be consumed with Jesus. Jesus is going to fill your heart. He did say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Notice, he didn't say learn the law. See, the law was given, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If the devil can keep you under the law, he can keep you defeated. This is one of the hardest things for people to understand, it seems like. Because it gets preached from the pulpit a lot of times. You're saved by grace, but then here's these things that you must do in order to be saved. Are you saved by grace or not? If you're saved by grace, you're saved by grace. Now, the guy on the cross that was next to Jesus, his hands were nailed to the cross just the same way Jesus was. His feet were nailed to the cross, same way Jesus was. He couldn't do anything except for call on the name of the Lord Jesus. You know something? You can't find anywhere where he read his Bible. You can't find anywhere where he went to church. You can't find anywhere where he got water baptized. You can't find anywhere where he prayed. You can't find anywhere where he fasted. You can't find anywhere where he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't find anywhere where he paid tithes. You can't find anywhere where he did all of these good things that the Bible instructs us to do for us to be complete Christians, but they're not things that are going to get you saved. In fact, I had a lady one time come up to me. I just got done preaching. And we were in a Southern Baptist church, and she come up to me, and she said, "Are you telling me that I don't have to be water baptized to get saved?" I said, "Exactly." She said, "I want in that water now. I've been waiting 30 years for somebody to tell me that." I was waiting for her to start throwing rocks. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. All these other things are good things, and they're needful things, you know, for to be victorious in your Christian walk. These are things that you really do, you really should do. It wouldn't hurt you to fast once in a while. It's not going to get you a trip to heaven. You already got that. You're not going to earn any favor. You already got that. You're not going to earn any love. You already got that. You're not going to change God. He doesn't need change. It changes us. It does get our flesh under control. That's not a bad thing now, is it? It sharpens our spirit. And we'll get focused on the right things. Reading your Bible, that's not going to change God. What's going to change us? Paying tithes is not going to change God. It's going to change us. Amen? All these things are good things. But the one requirement to get to heaven is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Amen? Now, Romans chapter 6. Verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." See, you want to conquer sin? Get yourself planted firmly in the gospel of grace. Quit messing with the law. See, Jesus called it mixture, but preachers call it balance. See, it's the same thing. But Jesus said it won't do. You get under grace and quit messing with the law. The law is holy, just, and good, but it's not going to help you be holy, just, and good. You can't keep the law. In fact, Paul called the law the ministry of death. There was no man except for Jesus that could ever keep the law. But here's the thing. Grace is not licensed to sin. I've seen people try that, and it's not right, and it should never be preached that way. Grace is not a license to go be an idiot. But when you do make a mistake, grace is there to cover you. Thank God, his name is Jesus. But some people like to take this idea and say, oh, I'm saved by grace, I'll go do whatever I want to do. You know, there is a curse out there. And sin does have consequences. You know, there are things out there that will hurt you. And you get out there in the no man's land, God is not obligated to protect you on that. If you go do something stupid, you can expect to win stupid prizes. People need to learn that. They need to understand that. You are under grace, but that doesn't give you license to go poke the bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. Says the sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. Do you see that? The strength of sin is the law. That's where, when people try to keep the law, they're going to fail. They're going to fail. They can't keep the law. And that's how the devil keeps people condemned. Because he'll remind them continuously how they broke the law. And they'll fall into that condemnation, but it's not from God. But they'll blame God for it. They'll say God's chastising me, and they'll feel condemned. It's condemnation does not come from God. He says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't keep the law, but we can focus on Jesus. Doesn't the Bible tell us to believe on him? To believe on him is to believe what he did for you. That's how you're going to win. Now, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, there's a thing called positional grace and there's a thing called conventional righteousness. Positional righteousness, conventional righteousness. What theologians will say is even though you were made righteous by grace, you now have to do right and keep the law to continue being righteous. Did they forget that it was a gift of righteousness? See, this is where preachers ensnare people. They go all over the world telling people you're saved by grace. And then these guys will show up to church and they say, because they don't understand righteousness, they'll say, okay, now here's these things that you have to do in order to remain righteous before God. When we understand that righteousness is right standing, And we can only get in right standing with God through the blood of Jesus. And that's the only way we can stay in right standing with Him, is through the blood of Jesus. One of the things that drives me crazy when I hear people say that righteousness is right doing. It is not. It is not right doing. Because that'll make people think that they can go earn their righteousness. You can't. It's only by the blood of Jesus. But because we get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we go do right things. We do right things because we've been put into right standing. But we don't go do right things in order to get into right standing. See, there's a verse of Scripture in the Bible that says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the church has been getting that just backwards for a long time. Because they used to tell me this all the time. So you need to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit chewing, quit running around, quit being wild, quit hanging out at the bars, and go marry some young girl and go to church. They'd always throw that in there. That young girl, I thought, what's that going to do for me? And I think, you know, if you knew how many times I quit drinking, you wouldn't tell me that. But what they were effectually telling me to do is, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. See how backwards that is to the Bible? The Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit. Then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, I noticed once I got born again and started learning just a little bit, a lot of that stuff just fell by the wayside. Just, boom, I lost interest. Something about getting the Word of God in a person changes them from the inside out. Pretty soon they're not the same person anymore. But we have to understand that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus the minute we get born again. See, this positional and conventional righteousness, in these theologians, they're always trying to get people to earn their righteousness when it's really a gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, says that you are the righteousness of God. As a matter of fact, it says, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus took it all on the cross. He took it all. And if you understand covenant just a little bit, and you study covenants a little bit, you'll understand that when these covenant heads would come together and cut these covenants, they'd trade things. You know, they'd trade weaponry, they'd trade names, they'd trade sheep, they'd trade goats, they'd trade clothing. You know, when you got born again, what effectually happened to you is God put a robe of righteousness on you. How about that? You got some weaponry too. You got a sword of the Spirit. You got a shield of faith. You got a helmet of salvation. You got sandals of peace. You got a girdle of truth. There was a lot of things that happened to you when you got born again. There was a lot of clothing that traded. And you got the good end of the deal. So there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing that you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to make Him love you less. Somebody might say, well, how in the world can you say that? We have the very closest thing that we have on this earth to the God kind of love is a woman and her baby. You'll never see anybody love anybody more than a mom and her kid. Have you ever once seen a mom that was teaching her little baby how to walk? She walks him across the living room from the couch over to the coffee table. And then goes and sits down on the couch and says, "Come over here now." And that little kid takes a couple steps and falls. And have you ever seen that mom walk over there and said, "I've showed you this twice. You better get it right this time or I'm done with you." Have you ever seen that? No. They go pick that baby up, practice some more. If people love people that much, how much more does God love you? He loves you unconditionally. He loves you absolutely unconditionally. You cannot earn it. You can't. You can't earn it. It's just there. That's who He is. God is love. But again, this is not a license to sin. It is a license to succeed. It's a license to conquer. But it's not a license to sin. I had a policeman tell me, said, actually I've had a couple of lawmen tell me this, that most normally when somebody in America does something wrong, their guilt will rat them out, their own guilt. A lot of times they'll just go turn themselves in. He said, you get somebody from Central and South America that hasn't been exposed to Christ, some of these people, their conscience is dead. He said, they're not going to rat themselves out. They're not going to have that guilt. See, our spirits, once we get exposed to God, and especially once we get born again, you feel that. You feel that when you make a mistake, you know it. You know it. But what people need to understand is the devil is reminding you of your mistakes. Holy Spirit is reminding you that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's trying to get you to turn around. God is not a punishing God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." See, Jesus sent his people. He knew that there were wolves out there. He knew that there were people out there that could do them harm. You know, there's people still out there that will do us harm if they can. We have to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. That's one thing to just say that, but here's the thing. We need to pay attention to the world around us. We need to pay attention to our neighbors. We need to pay attention to our community. We need to pay attention to what people are doing, what things. Now, we need to not be doing stupid things, but we need to be paying attention to who's doing what. You know, there's some people in this town that do not have your best interest at heart. And there's actually some people in this town that don't care one way or another if you make it. There's some people in this town that specifically pray for you not to make it. You need to be aware of these things. There is a devil out there. But the same way that God uses people in his kingdom, the devil uses people in his kingdom. And he's got them in every single town. That doesn't mean you do right. That means you do right. But be aware that there are people out there like this. But we have to open the Bible for ourselves. This is one of the things, you know. You should at least read the Bible all the way to at least once, especially the New Testament. Just read it through like a novel. You don't have to sit there and study it, but just read it through. Read it through like a novel. Just get through it. At least get it in there. See, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance, but you have to get it in there for him to have something for you to remember. So I'll never remember all that. You don't have to. The Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance. If you've read it, he can bring it to your remembrance. He'll guide you through it. You need to get it in you. That way you can have the witness of the Holy Spirit. See, some believe in universal grace. And that's a lie. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. They say that God's grace, they say by God's grace, all will be saved, even without believing in Jesus. You know, there are people, I've ran into people like this. I actually had a lady tell me one time she's a Christian because she was born in America. Really? That's not how it works. I can't even count how many people tell me they're Christians because they got baptized. You know, whether they got baptized when they were a baby or whether they got water poured on them somewhere, they decided they're a Christian. I can understand people being confused about this idea because I ran into preachers where I specifically, you know, we'd be visiting and they'd be telling me how much they know. And I said, oh, what do you think about Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10? I said, oh, I'm not familiar with that scripture. Really? You got a whole flock of people following you around, and you're preaching every Sunday, and you don't know the very basics of how to get born again. That's got to be the first thing you learn, Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10. Anything outside of that, you're just talking. You have to first be born again. See, this is sometimes why I get a little bit ornery with pastors sometimes. Because they're always telling me they preach the full gospel. So I ask them, well, how about Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10? I don't know that. How are you going to preach the full gospel if you ain't born again? You don't understand the full gospel. How are you going to preach the full gospel? It's not just once in a while. It happens a lot. I was shocked. Glenn Smith said he went to a pastor's convention to preach at this pastor's convention. And a whole bunch of hundreds of pastors in there. And he got 30 of them born again. See, it doesn't matter how much time you spend going to theological school or seminary or whatever you do. It doesn't matter. None of that matters if you're not born again. It sounds shocking, but there's whole denominations. There'll be whole congregations that never get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified because they do not believe in preaching salvation. I posted a picture on our church website one day of people going into a church building, cross on it, everything. They go in there, and there's a hole going into a deep ravine. They're just falling through the crack. People will follow their pastor all the way to the gates of hell if he doesn't tell them how to get born again. And it has to be by grace. It has to be because of what Jesus did. It has to be through Him. Nobody, absolutely nobody gets to the Father except through the Son. He is the door. Nobody gets in unless they get through Jesus. They have to believe in their heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. And we thank you for your grace that we are saved. It's by your blood, by your grace. And it's the faith that you gave us. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.